Okay, so this is the second installment of how to use Azure Machine Learning Services, and we wanted to make it in installments and bite size so people could get a feeling for what's going on and they could jump back and forth and know where to go. We just talked about the setup. You do that one time.
Yes.
Okay, now let's talk about the actual experiment. Like, how do you go through the experiment? Because you mentioned that our services are really good at the data prep and the experimentation side. Let's get into that.
Sure, perfect. So I have the Azure Machine Learning Workbench installed, and the first time you open this, it will ask you the same experimentation account which you created, mm-hmm. and it will just authenticate you. So this is our way to find out that, okay, you are the actual user who is supposed to use that. So once you do that, you get this kind of a welcome screen. Now, in this welcome screen, we show you some starter videos, and then essentially there are links to the examples and documents and things like that. What you would require to start with is create a workspace. Now, think of workspace as like if there are multiple data scientists, each data scientist could have their own workspace, which is associated to the same experimentation account, and then each workspace would have different projects which the data scientists can use. So once you've created a workspace, you create a new project inside it. For that, again, you just provide the name of the project. You can provide some description. If it's already in a Git repo, then you can give that URL. Now, you can start with a blank project, or we provide you a lot of examples, like different frameworks, like CNTK, TensorFlow, classical machine learning. So you want to do regression, use Spark. So it's very easy to start with as well. So we have provided that. Now, because I'm going to talk about the income prediction application, it's the application which I've built. So it's already preloaded over here. I'm going to start that, and we'll see how it goes.
Fantastic. So before we get there, the experimentation service is creating a service where there's workspaces and associated projects.
So the user creates it.
Okay, but they go into the experimentation.
So yeah, it gets associated, linked with it. Yes.
Got it. And so when you're looking at the experimentation, you can actually keep track of the various workspaces. So let's just say you have a workspace for doing, you know, image classification for blah, and you have another one that's doing NLP for something else, and you have another one that's doing, you know, we want to be able to suggest products. Those can be three separate workspaces.
Yes.
And then in each one of them, you might have projects that either improve upon other ones or that are just different aspects of that.
That's right. That's
fantastic.
Right.
And for collaboration, everyone can have access to specific workspaces and or projects.
That's right, because we have the VSTS Git repo, so essentially you can provide that URL to your coworker or colleague, and then you can share it.
Fantastic. So now that we've got that straight away, now we're in a specific project in a workspace with something you've already set up.
That's right.
All right, yeah, let's take a look at it.
Cool. So when this workspace loads, essentially you would see a README kind of a file. Now, in this case, I've already provided some information, but it could be a blank if it's a blank project or based on the template what you have. Now, the second step is to actually bring in data, right? So that is where on the left-hand side you will see this tab, which is the data tab. You click on this plus and then create a data source. We support a lot of data formats, so it could be CSV, Excel, or even a SQL database. In this case, I have my data which is stored in a blob. So what I would do is select CSV format, click next, give blob, and then provide the blob URL.
Okay.
So once that is done, my data is loaded already. So this is the data which we have. Now, when you load the data, you don't want to load the entire data. So you bring in only a sample data set.
Okay.
Right? Because as long as your data set is a representative sample of the whole data set, you are fine with it.
Yeah.
So in this case, I'm loading just the first 10,000 rows and see what the data tells me.
So for clarity, the actual data that you're working with is an Azure Blob storage.
Yes.
So when you're tinkering, like locally, you're just tinkering with about 10,000 rows?
Yes.
But when you're running the experiments, is that happening on the entire data set?
Yes, okay. That's right. Okay. Yeah, so the first idea is just to get a feel of data, because data tells your story,
yeah.
Right? So essentially, you try to figure that out. Once you're happy with it, you can scale it out.
Fantastic. All right, so I've heard that we have some really cool data prep things in our particular application that we're looking at.
Yeah.
Why don't you describe why someone would use this? Because as you know, if you're a data scientist, we spend the majority of our time
80%.
Yeah. We're literally data janitors. We clean stuff. And so we have some nice things to help with that. Why don't you show us what those are?
Sure, perfect. So in this case, I loaded the first 10,000 rows. Now immediately it tells me like how many data rows are valid, missing, or it could be erroneous. Now erroneous could be like it's a numeric column, but there is a string over there, so we can immediately figure it out. The other thing is you can also look at the pattern of the data, because you want to see like which are your outliers, what kind of distribution you have, what are mean, median, and all those metrics which is there. So we show you that part as well for all the fields.
And that's really nice, because you might, in this particular data set, you might find out that if everyone's over 60, they're going to be making over, because this is standard data set, you might just figure out from looking at your data that you just need a less than symbol in order to do machine learning in this particular case, but this is not the case here.
That's right. Yeah, everyone would have an income greater than 50K, you're right. So the other cool thing which we have is like transformations. Now, a lot of data scientists would be familiar with either R or Pandas, Python, or things like that. But what if you could do some of those transformations without actually writing a single line of code? And you know, intelligently just show it visually, and then we generate all the code magically for you. So say in this case, I have this age field, which is there. It's 90, 82, and something. But I want to bin it, for example, for simplification purpose. First, I have to do a prepare, basically, and create a data preparation package. Now, the idea behind the data preparation package is that you do some transformations, you do some joining, whatever you want to do, but you want to scale it out. So we create it as a separate component.
I see. So a data preparation package in this case is once you want to do cleaning, it's not just happening on the 10,000 rows. You got to define a way to do it on that huge data set that's on the blob search.
Yeah. So we can generate the Python code behind this for you.
Cool.
Now, I already have a data preparation package which is available, and right now you see I haven't done any transformations. It's the same data set as you saw over there. What has changed though is now on the top side you see a new transforms menu, which was not visible when you were just looking at the data.
I see.
Right? So you select a particular column. So in this case, say for example, I select age, and you can see all the transforms which are possible on a numeric kind of a column.
Right.
So in this case, again, I don't have missing data, but a lot of times we have to deal with missing data, erroneous data, so you can do all those replacements. And when you do those replacements, we actually give you the option. So it's not just one value, but you can do multiple columns and then replace with some mean, median, or whatever you want to do, and things like that.
So when you're looking, the tab we were looking at before, that's the raw data.
Yes.
You can look at like the distributions, you can look at missing values, et cetera. But then when you want to start doing some transformations on the data to make it palatable for the machine learning algorithms, then we would do this dprep stuff to actually prepare.
That's right. Yeah. So for this, I'm going to show you like, okay, how to bin a particular age. So I'm going to tell this that, okay, derive column by example, and I'm going to tell it that, okay, I want to bin like say 90 as 90 to 100. And I just show one example, and you will see that it filled all the remaining rows by itself.
I see, and it's doing this locally on the 10,000,
yes,
but we're defining a way to do it on all of the data when we do training.
That's right, that's right, you can do that. And I just click OK, and when you see, there is a new step which is created on the right side. Now the good thing is, if you want to edit it, you can go back in history and edit it, and you can have more options. So say for example, I want to give it a name, or I want to change it to 92110 or something like that, you can still do that. So, and you can of course delete it. So if you delete it, the data set would be back to where it was, and you can do it for any of the steps.
So eventually you might have a set of steps of transformations that then make it a little bit better. For example, we all have missing data, we need to replace it with something. We can try in an experiment replacing it with the mean or the median or whatever. We can also remove probably columns with missing data, but this is where you do all of the data wrangling type work.
That's right, perfect. Now, for today's experiment, I'm going to use notebooks. So for a lot of data scientists these days use Jupyter Notebooks. Now, Jupyter Notebooks is, Jupyter is basically an acronym, as you know, right? So it's, and then you can do R, you can do Python, or you can do Julia. So today we are going to focus on Pandas. So it's Python, basically.
Mm-hmm.
In the Jupyter Notebook, I'm going to show you that, okay, if you did transformations here, you can use the same data set in a Jupyter Notebook, or you can start from fresh and then have that entire experience of importing the data and then doing the deep rep and things like that.
So the option you're presenting is I could use the preparation stuff that I did before, or I could just go directly to the data.
Perfect.
Okay,
yes,
fantastic. So what we're gonna do then is we're gonna break it up here because data prep is obviously a lot of stuff and we want people to be able to find this about data prep. So thank you so much. In the next episode, we're going to be looking at how to actually train and operationalize a model. Does that work?
Yep.
All right, we'll see you then.
Yeah, thank you.